Welcome, everybody, back to the best damn show in radio, Radio Networks, The Soul in Sports, right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP Hopewell. It is a pleasure to be here with you guys, people. It is the last show of the year, people. And when I tell you this is the show the pros, the icons listen to, shout out to my brother, Tracy Murray. I know you're sad UCLA lost in that overtime or in that close game. I told you, do not Facebook Live before a game. It is a bad omen. And you did not listen, young Padawan. But as we get into a great show today, guys, UFC 207 is tonight. Ronda Rousey is back, people. I don't think you guys understand that. Yeah, I went to like my old person's voice. Ronda Rousey is back. But first, the particulars, people. The number to call in, 347-637-3859. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter, wherever social media. It's sold in, people. It's free at SOUL, capital N, sports. Also, follow the station, giving the identification at 1340 AM, Fox Sports as well. While you're at it, follow me, yours truly, Mike Knox. And indeed, I spell my name with three X's because, frankly, people, like the Hornets and Dated, I am hard. Core people, we have a plethora of wrestling talk, sports talk, entertainment talk before you today. But I got to be honest, people. I got to be real. We had our top 25 females of 2016. And people, we were blessed. We have been happy. I mean, you can be blessed and happy at the same time. We're happily blessed, as they say, if you will, so to speak, to have one of Hago, No Foul Play's own host, one of his top picks to make this list. Calling on the program today, guys. Matter of fact, she's on hold right now. So, come on, people, you know how we do. And it's her birthday, so you got to get extra hype right now. I got my glass of Black Opal Shiraz right here live in the studio with me right now as we celebrate her birthday today. People, listen, stand on your feet. Are you the one? It doesn't matter because she was number one in the program, and that's a fact, Jack. Stand on your feet. It's her birthday, y'all. Miss Julia Rose.
Holy shit. What an entrance.
Well, thank you for joining us today. How are you doing?
I am doing great after that. Let me tell you, that was amazing. I don't think I've ever had an introduction like that before.
Well, you know what? I hear it all the time. I'm available for hire for all your little events you do. We just want to introduce you the right way. Call on Mike Knox. I'm there for you. I'm known in them California streets.
Oh, definitely. If you could just be like my alarm clock, that would be great. Every morning, like, just have you just wake up.
Now you sound like my wife. She's like, yeah, you just do that for me every single day? I'm like, no, babe, this voice has to get paid for. But she says, I do pay you. I say, not really, in a different kind of way. But, Julia, happy birthday to you first and foremost. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you here. MTV's Are You the One? And before I go to any of my questions, it's Steven next to you because my co-host has the biggest question. I told him, leave Steven alone. I like Steven. I was cheering for you guys to make it. So I was happy when everything went off the reservation there. Hugo, are you there? You got your you take your time.
Hold up. First of all, I had to mute myself because I was just laughing so hard right now, Michael. What you were just saying at that last piece. But first of all, ladies and gentlemen, Happy New Year to everyone. Mike to you, Micah, and Julia. First things first, happy birthday. I know
Thank
it's a definitely it's a big time. Happy birthday to you. Merry Christmas, and now hopefully a happy 2017 for you.
Yes.
And we're glad that you're part of the program. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Now, we have our every year now. I've been doing now over 3 million episodes, or 3 million listens, I'm sorry, over 2,500 episodes. And 8 years ago, I started off a thing, the BDSR Network's Top 25 Females, because I frankly hate Maxim's Top 100. I cannot stand it. It is absolutely annoying. And we got a little background noise there. If I guess that's the phone that we're using there, Julie, but it's okay. We will work through it. Statistician, fix that. But every year we do this, and this year it was sports and entertainment. And you personally entertained me on television. That was my first season I ever watched. My wife's a Real World person, and so I like the challenges. Uh-huh. I'm a big fan of TJ and all those guys that do the challenges. So I'm like, well, let me start watching some of the new breeds that might make a challenge one day. So I tuned into the show, and then my co-host, I tweeted about you, and he said, oh, no, that is my show. You cannot watch that. that's the kind of program I want. First of all, Julia, how was it being on a show like that, Are You the One, and did you have any idea what you'd be getting yourself into?
Oh, my God. I had no idea. I mean, they talk it up, of course, and they're like, look, you get to go to Hawaii, you get to meet 20 other good-looking, crazy people, you know, everything's going to be paid for, you're going to have a blast, so they talk it up, and you're, like, super pumped, and then you fly into Hawaii, and you're just so excited, and then they, like, start taking your phone, and you're like, okay, I can live without a phone, and then they're like, oh, you can't listen to the radio, so you have to live without music, and then they just fail to mention that you're kind of, like, kidnapped in a weird sort of way. But, I mean, you're in Hawaii, so it's still great. You get to meet these people, but it's, like, you're being filmed 24/7. You got to learn to, like, catch what you say because you never know who's going to use it in what way. Overall, I mean, it was a great experience. Would I do it again? Probably not, but I definitely wouldn't take it back, and I don't regret doing it.
Well, I would tell you, just as a person who watched the show, and he can keep his hashtag she fake all he wants to with his whack MTV underscore Johnny Drama as his name. John,
oh God.
What a psycho, Julia. What a psycho. I'm saying, like, how could he know from the second a glance at you that you were his perfect soulmate? Did he gross you out? Because he grossed me out watching him paying over you so heavily.
It wasn't that he grossed me out. And, like, they made the date, too, look 10 times worse than it was, because mm-hmm. it actually was, like, a pretty fun date. Like, it wasn't as terrible as they made it seem. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there were awkward moments, you know, and you could tell that I'm just not a very affectionate person to begin with, and I'm not an affectionate person if I've only known you for 3 days. So
Right. There's
definitely, like, cringe parts, but they just made it seem so much worse than it was. And, you know, poor kid, like, he's very, you know, emotional, and I'm just not emotional, and I laughed that part, so.
It's the testosterone.
Yeah, but see, I think testosterone should make it, like, a little bit less emotional, though, because I feel like I should have been the emotional one. It's just, like, it was just one of those things. I'm glad that whole Johnny drama phase is over. You know, best of luck to him, and whatever girl can put up with it, it just wasn't me.
He'll be on the Real World Rules Challenge real soon. I can guarantee you that one. If they call his name.
Oh, man.
He definitely wants the spotlight. Now, the word hate, right? Were you really close with any other females in the house? Because the way it came off on editing on television, to me, they hated on you for being you. But you spoke about how you're not, you know, that affected somebody you just met. They're meeting guys. you know, hooking up very rather quickly and things like that. And you kind of reserved yourself and paced yourself. And to me, that's what made you more endearing to watch you on television, was to see that you were just, you know, that's not me. I'm not here to, you know, yeah, we're going to party. We're in Hawaii. But they hate it on your life. Did you feel that way?
Oh, man. I mean, they didn't even show half of it, honestly. And it was hate from them. It was hate from audience. I mean, I got a lot of hate. Some of it, don't get me wrong, I feel like maybe I deserve. But some of it I definitely didn't deserve. And
like what?
I definitely
like
was...
What do you think you deserve?
I mean, just like... I mean, I did with the whole Emma, you know, I called Emma pathetic the whole week one. Definitely got... But see, they didn't show me... I did apologize to her. They just didn't show that part. I definitely kind of led John on a little bit in the beginning, which was kind of funny to me. And then I definitely deserved a little bit of hate for that. It was just... It was like the first week there is such a learning experience, and it's like the rest of the time being there, I just feel like they were so easy to, like, accept other people's apologies besides mine. So it's like if I made a mistake, it's all hell breaks loose. If other people make mistakes, it's okay because it's other people. So, I mean, that's the part where I got kind of frustrated because I just felt like they would just – they loved to hate on me. They just didn't love to hate on other people.
Well, you say, you know, some of the things you said in the beginning when you got there, and to me, you say you may have strung John along a little bit. You're there. If you thought John was an attractive male, and, you know, that might have been, you know, we're human,
yeah,
right?
John is an attractive male until he opens his mouth.
Well, the first thing you're going to go to is somebody you think you're physically attracted to. If you're not physically attracted to somebody, you can't – I don't care what nobody says. You're not the perfect one for me if I think you're a mud duck. Or as they say, a grenade, or whatever, landmine, whatever, you know,
the
shout out to
grenade.
The guys at Jersey
it's
Shore.
The,
right.
It's a dub, the designated ugly fat friend.
not the dub. Well, I was like, someone was fat in the house. Maybe. I mean, well, I don't know. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
But
let's
anyway.
let's not get into that.
let's not get into that part. Hugo, you've been panting and waiting, anticipating for so long to ask Miss Julia Rose, Julia Rose _33 on the Twitter a question. Go right ahead, my friend.
All right, so I got to ask you a question. Obviously, we saw what happened the first few episodes with John, right? By the way, I was a fan of John. I don't know. There's just something about him, and we saw him grow up.
There is
the
something
show.
About
I think
him.
We
I'm
did.
Telling you, like, he's an endearing person. There's something about him, but there's also other things.
But my,
like, I'm with it.
But my question to you is this. So we saw him grow up, obviously, after he gave up on you and throughout the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think he started going for Emma, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was Emma. And then all of a sudden, something happened, and he imploded again. What was the perception of John at the end of the season when you guys finally said your goodbyes? Because what, if you see it in a looker's eyes, he grew up. In my eyes, he grew up. He finally said, well, forget her. I'm here. I'm going to make the best out of it. And it seemed like he made the best out of it. But then all of a sudden, he just completely fell apart again. What happened with John, and what was everyone's perception of John at the end of the season?
I mean, I don't know if you saw, but I tried apologizing in the last episode to him because I wanted to, like, end things on a good note. Like, look, we both had our issues. And he told me to go fuck myself. So, I mean, at the end of the show, it is what it is. You know, no hard feelings towards him. But he definitely still harbors those. He just doesn't let go or forgive very easily. So, our last words to each other, I'm pretty sure he told me to go fuck myself. And that was the ending conversation between me and Don.
Wow.
Well,
that's pretty harsh.
That's what we like to call that, again, the hate that goes there. Now, we're not going to keep it too long, Julie. I know it's your birthday. We thank you for calling in. A few more questions real fast. Number 25, I had you in the list. And Hugo definitely thought that's not high enough. Again, Maxwell's 100 to me is a pair of mutt ducks. I don't care. They have some beautiful women. But when you have, what's my girl from Quantico? I can't pronounce her. Help me out, Hugo. You know, I don't know her name. The Persian girl. Whatever. They had a number 76 from Quantico. Marisa, or whatever. The Miss Universe girl. They had her number 76. I had a problem with that. Place your number 25. Your new
76.
On the scene. They had her 70. You know what I'm talking about from the show Quantico, right? They had her 76.
Yeah.
That's retarded. And I mean that in the upstairs, no disrespect towards people who might have a mental handicap. But we put you at 25, and I put you there because you're new on the horizon. We want to see more things from you in the future. Is there anything going out there for you? You know, you're modeling. I hear things you're singing as well.
Singing? I mean, in the shower sometimes, I guess. I mean, besides that, I don't think anyone wants to hear me sing anytime soon. I have some things planned definitely for 2017. Nothing too major right now. I'm definitely working on just, you know, definitely not reality TV for sure. But I have a couple of mini projects I'm going to be working on, mostly working on videos and stuff on my Instagram. I don't know if anyone's checked those out, but just kind of going on adventures, learning to snowboard, learning to do cool things, and videoing it and letting people kind of see inside my life besides just what MTV showed them.
And that's the best part. Take control of your own, you know, your name. It's your name. That's your brand. It's your name. And our Instagram is it_JuliaRose. Make sure y'all go there and follow her. If you haven't, you're slow and don't understand. But so you and Steven. Still going on, or what's going on there?
Me and Steven are not together, but we definitely, like, he's in Philly right now. He lives up in San Francisco, so we have a little bit of distance. We definitely tried making things work for a little bit because we did have chemistry, but it was just more of a distance type thing. I kind of want to be selfish and focus on myself, and he wants to do the same. So we're definitely on great terms. We talk almost every day. We're really cool with each other, just not relationship-wise.
Wow, friends, see? So not the perfect match in the house. Was not your perfect
match. Not the perfect match. Guess that truth booth was right.
So what? But what happened with the perfect match? The truth booth said you had a perfect match. You're not with him either.
I know, Cam, a big teddy bear. I'm not with Cam. Nothing really happened. I mean, we don't really talk all that much. Actually, my perfect match hasn't even told me happy birthday, so he's listening. He's in trouble. But he's great too. He's just a softie. He's just a giant teddy bear, and I think I need a man that's gonna put me in my place sometimes.
See,
you know,
you're single, and you seem like you want to be docile. So what is your idea of a perfect date? Let the men out there know, and if you bite it, she's gonna know because you have some, your own kind of swag or style with it. What's your idea of a perfect date? It's your birthday. What do you want tonight for your
birthday?
It's my birthday.
If I had a date tonight, I'd say something just random. I don't like the typical movie and dinner because nobody can talk during a movie, and I don't feel like eating in front of someone for the first time. I think, honestly, like a bonfire on the beach or like something just so random and out there where you can actually like get to know someone and actually talk to them and see them in a different element. And anything on the beach is, or anything outside, really, I'm a big fan of.
Well, that's amazing. It's her birthday, guys. Make sure you go out there and flood her Twitter, flood her Instagram with happy birthday. She is the beautiful. She is the sexy. She is the single. She is the BDSR top 25 female on the list and the up-and-comer, Miss Julia Rose. It's been a pleasure having you on today. Have a happy birthday.
Oh,
have a good
thank
night.
Thank you so much.
Stand on your feet, y'all. Are you the one? Well, she is. Y'all should catch up with it, y'all. Miss Julia Rose, we'll be right back, y'all.
Thank you so much.
Found a close second yet. Ronda Rousey. Holly Holm.
It is all over. Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new champion.
And now here's the big question. What now? Misha's got her back, looking to lock it in. She's out. Misha Tate, the third women's bantamweight champion.
Oh!
Amanda Nunes is the first female Brazilian UFC champion.
Wow. What a crazy division this women's bantamweight has turned out to be. Dana White,
have you heard from Ronda yet?
I text Ronda, and she said, oh, looks like I got to get back to work.
Fighting is the most important thing in the world, so I have to keep going. I was doing what I'm the best in the world at, and I need to do it again.
Watch me as I climb the throne.
When I started training for MMA, I always think fighting Ronda Rousey because at the time she's the best. But now everything's changed. Ronda has had time, but now is my time.
Amanda Nunes has done it!
The next level, look at those shots!
Wow! Ronda Rousey!
She is just spectacular.
I'm the best in the world, and I'm gonna win.
Nobody's gonna take his belt.
Bobby! This is the moment UFC fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time!
She is back, people. She is back. Ronda Rousey. I don't want to say her name like that. That's why I made it that way. I know what it is. That's Hot Rods only. Ronda Rousey. Rousey. See how I did that? Ronda Rousey. Rousey. Not Rowdy. Ronda Rousey is back, people. UFC 207. It goes down tonight. Tonight, people. 10 o'clock tonight. We say this every time there's a god darn pay-per-view. To buy or not to buy? Question. I tell you what not to buy. Don't buy anything that Mr. Johnny Hendricks has to offer because yet again, he failed weight. So Nigel McGuinney will destroy him like the fat, out of shape, Alabama, big strong, knock you out with a right hand guy you ever seen. But it doesn't matter because he's fat and out of shape. But tonight, to buy or not to buy, Young Kim, friend of the program, TJ Dillashaw, Cruz, do you understand the level of competition and Garbana that he's fighting tonight? And Nunes, the champion, can see the throne, the return of one Rousey. Ronda Rousey. Hugo! To buy or not to buy. Yeah, because sometimes with those muscles from the back, she looks like a man. I'm just saying.
To buy or not to buy. Well, I'm looking at the card, and I'm going to read it up to you guys. You have Lewis Smolka versus Ray Borg, out of catchweight, by the way. Dong Hyun Kim versus Tarek Safadine. Jake Mack and William Limping. Those are three fights that I really don't care for. I'll be honest with you. I don't care for any of those fights.
Say that
but
one more time.
Only...
What? You don't care about the Dillashaw fight?
TJ Dillashaw is not fighting, my friend. I don't know where you're getting that from.
What happened? He got hurt? I'm on the website.
I'm on the website. He is not fighting tonight.
Dillashaw and Lineker, hands
yes,
of stone.
Yes. Where are you on?
Where is he at? Because I don't see it at all on the official fight card. Nunes versus Rousey, December 30th. I don't know what you guys. Unless it was just put
UFC.
On recently.
Oh yeah, are you on UFC.com?
Okay.
I'm on UFC.com.
Okay.
I'm
just looking at. Listen. I do trust UFC.com, but where I get all of my UFC stuff is on Bodog. Because on Bodog, they tell you round for round. They give you kind of like the dirt sheets where the WWE comes up and they give you like the results.
That's your problem.
Bodog.
What's the hashtag?
Okay.
That's a dirt sheet. All right. That's your problem.
Fine.
King Bowen Jr. 720 on the Twitter is a dirt sheet. I can get my news from him. I want to hear something from the streets.
All right, well, let me tell you. T.J. Dillashaw, of course, I'll pay for anything for T.J. Dillashaw because I am a big fan of his. However, let's be honest. The other three fights, Jake Mack, Willie Limping, Don Yoon Kim, Derek Safadine, and Luis Smolka, Ray Borg.
Who cares about the bottom two? The top three, Coco and the Co. Before the main, it's worth
the
money.
Okay, I was about to get to my point. So you're not letting me get
your point. Is like long division.
Okay, fine. It's like long division. To buy or not to buy, yes. The only reason why I'm buying the fight is to see Ronda Rousey flat on her face today announcing retirement when Amanda Nunes knocks her out. That is the reason why to buy. And I am excited just because Amanda Nunes is a badass chick. She is badass, and she is the next face in the UFC for the women's bantamweight division. Because we know we got Carolina, whatever her last name is, in the strawweight division. But I'm telling you, Amanda Nunes, she may not look good. She may not, whatever. Amanda Nunes might not look good, but damn, can that chick fight. And I'm telling you right now, Ronda Rousey is for a fight of his life.
When you said the face, I lost it. Well, shout out to my group, the Fight Club UFC Predictor, because I am the all-time 7-time champion, winner of 3 of the last 6 predictor pages, including the Pettis Holloway, including the Conor McGregor Alvarez, and including the Lawler T.J. Woodley, which I went back-to-back with that friend in the program, and Nunes Tate. I am on a win streak like no other. Like, hashtag bet that before you. When it comes to the UFC, I am the man. And tonight, I'm going to watch it for free on my Fire Stick. I said it. Can I say that? I'm not stealing anything. Okay? The stick I brought from the store, whatever. Tonight, Huggo, it's about to go down. Let's go ahead. Let's get into this. Let's get into it how it needs to be gotten into. So who wins the first fight? I'm talking with you, Micah, because he all in his emotions about old girl. Okay? He's all in his emotions.
Ooh, Ronda?
He all in his emotions about Ronda. Who wins this Ronda
fight?
First of all,
let's get one thing straight. I'm not emotional about Ronda.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about Hugo.
I apologize, and I owe you a special adult beverage for my misspeaking. I apologize, sir.
I will take it.
I owe you an adult beverage. This Ronda chick, right? Not to get too emotional over what I'm excited for is just to see how, if she wins, how is she going to react? Because for some odd reason, this whole year, just a whole year, some change. Not a fight, not a press conference, not a talk, not a tweet. Just, I'm just throwing it away and bye. I'll beat this shit tomorrow. I'm like, why is she doing this? Why is she doing the silent treatment? Why is she giving everybody the cold shoulder? Is it because she understands that karma is just like her at times and that's a witch with a beat? And maybe all those things she was saying and all that fake stuff she was talking about when it came to domestic violence, not being honest about her actual domestic violence against men. You know, I'm just saying, all that maybe came back on her a little bit. But honestly, I think she's going to win. And the reason why I think she's going to win is because who did Amanda Nunes beat? She beat Misha Tate. And if we're talking about things in proxy, did she beat Misha Tate the way Ronda Rousey beat Misha Tate? So, gentlemen, as you are the resident experts, what am I looking at that when I see the game of Ronda Rousey, who I'm sure improved her striking after she got her stuff pushed in by Holly Holm this year?
Oh, push back, bro!
Pushed in, just all pushed in.
I need that sound. I need that sound bite, yo, from training
day. So how can you get your stuff pushed in by a person who has better hands than you? I'm sure you worked on your hands. Her submission game was already pretty good against people who strike aggressively. When I saw Amanda Nunes against the Misha Tate, when I saw that fight, I saw she wasn't necessarily overly aggressive, but I see spots in which Ronda Rousey, if she's actually to the form and sharper than she's ever been, can catch her. But a whole year without actually fighting. Sparring isn't the same as live action, so I'm sorry. I want to give it to Ronda because I think she's fired up to do it, but unless she does an Instagram, she ain't going to win this fight. I'm going to have to go with Amanda Nunes, and I think she's going to put Ronda on her face if Ronda can get it done.
Is that a back-to-back for you also, Joe? Because you said she's on her face too, so you're also picking Ronda to pick her face up. Is that the truth?
That's the truth. It was only because it's been a year and you didn't fight anybody. Like, you didn't fight at all. Like,
right.
You just sitting there killing licking your wound.
I was tagging Hugo in there. Hugo, did you hear that also?
Three rounds.
I just want to say that you're disrespectful, Micah. You are very disrespectful. Ooh. Although you chose Amanda Nunes to win.
But based
on what you were making it seemed that you were going to go for Ronda Rousey. When I heard you first talk and talk all that trash out of your mouth, okay, I thought you were disrespecting Amanda Nunes. Listen, let me tell you about Amanda Nunes, okay? Amanda Nunes.
Speak on it.
She's
speak
fought
on it.
No one besides Misha Tate. Besides Misha
no
Tate,
one.
She's beaten Valentina Shevchenko. She's being
Sarah
McMahon.
McMahon.
Yes. Yeah. Mike, stop being disrespectful as well,
no,
okay?
I'm co-signing.
Okay.
I
was about to say. Okay. Okay. Okay.
You know that.
You know when it comes to my women fighters, I am very passionate about.
You
okay?
are very. Well,
let me tell you.
Men's ain't got her asses whooped, so ever since then, my heart's been broken, okay?
In the UFC, the only fight that Amanda Nunes has lost to has been Kat Zingano at UFC 178. And Kat Zingano is no pushover. The only person she's really lost to is Ronda Rousey, right? It's the only person she's lost to.
And
so you're being a little disrespectful to Amanda Nunes.
I'm not going to let you get on him all the time because didn't you also say that Ronda was going to lose with her on her face? All he did was
all I was saying is that he's being disrespectful. Just saying the only person she's beating is Misha Tate. That's what I'm saying.
You got
what I said confused. I was talking about when it came to the person that she beat last, because I was talking about in comparable competition, they both beat Misha Tate, but how Ronda beat Misha Tate was a little bit different from how Amanda approached Misha Tate. That's what I was saying. I wasn't saying that.
Ronda Rousey has beat Misha Tate three times.
That's what I'm saying.
What
I'm saying is that when she beat Misha Tate for the championship, Ronda also beat Misha Tate multiple times, so I'm sitting here. I was using that as a litmus test for myself, not as disrespect to Antonio Nunes. I mean, I'm sorry, Amanda Nunes.
Antonio Nunes. That's messed up, Micah.
Listen.
Hey, man.
Listen.
You should go call him out of one, man. I'm sorry.
You're going to make me do it. I got to do it. Got to get some control now. I need to go on. You're both for picking Ronda, yes or no? I mean, picking Nunes.
Yes, picking Nunes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, well, guess what, guys? Well, you morons,
lock it up.
Ronda Rousey is going to dog walk this dog-looking woman. I said it. If Don Imus can say nappy-headed, boom, then I can say dog-face-looking woman. Okay? Amanda Nunes is a badass. I cannot stand Ronda Rousey, people. I am not a fan of Ronda Rousey. However, the girl is badass. And she went into a fight against a fighter that was her kryptonite, if you will, so to speak. The complete opposite of the type of fighter. This shit could probably be somebody who would stand back, not rush. She rushed in, got caught, got whooped, and I made fun of it. You know that. Matter of fact, where's the clip? I played it for how long? Okay? How long did I play Ronda going down? I played it forever. Okay? Ronda Rousey wins tonight, guys. It's so simple to me that she wins this fight. I just don't see how she loses with the time off, not talking to the media, preparing herself for things the way she's been, preparing herself. I just don't see her coming back losing this fight. I just don't.
All right. So here's my question to you. Let's be honest. She loses, she's gone. But if she wins, Mike, what happens next? Should she be gone as well?
She said she's gone in two fights regardless.
You know why? So, because she's scared. She's scared of one cyborg.
I will probably agree. However, I'm just saying, you know, the WWE is calling. And I don't think she has nothing else to prove. If she beats Nunes, okay, she wins the belt back, she has nothing else to prove. Because guess what happened to the champion that demolished her?
Of course she has something to prove.
The Buster Douglas of women's MMA, as I dubbed her, she has nothing to prove.
Not
if she wins. Not if she wins tonight. The way
she has cyborg.
She doesn't. Let me break it down for you, Hugo. She has cyborg to MMA fans. To cyborg to MMA fans is like me naming to you Bud Crawford of boxing to non-boxing fans. No one knows cyborg. So that's not a fight that can – I mean, it could – UFC can sell anything. Let me just put that – I'm not going to say that. They can make – they're like – they learn from Mr. McMahon very well to make a no into a yes, okay? If she wins this fight tonight the way she has been winning them, beating women in an Instagram, she has nothing to prove, in my opinion. In my opinion, if she wins easily, she has nothing to prove. Victor Cruz versus Cody Garbrandt. I love –
Dominic Cruz, by the way.
What'd I say? Whatever. Victor Cruz? I did say Victor. Dominic. I think Cody's too much for the old guy. The Dominator will be dominated tonight, in my opinion. I'm looking here, and this is untalked about. I'm talking about I think Dominic Cruz is going to get stopped in this fight. I think Cody's that damn good, Hugo. I got Cody winning this in 3 rounds.
I like Cody too, man. I like Cody too. He's obviously younger. He definitely is he's a fantastic fighter. Listen, the only fight
he's been groomed to beat him.
Right, he hasn't lost any fights whatsoever. Dominic Cruz though is a badass as well. However, I have to be inclined with you, Mike, because he knows how to punch. This kid, and I call him a kid because to our age he's a kid, Mike. I'm gonna go as well with Cody Garbrandt. I'm taking him to knock out Dominic Cruz tonight.
Yeah,
it's not going to be in the first round, although the last three fights that he's won has been in the first round. Dominic Cruz does have the experience. You know what? Give me the second round knockout.
He's going to make it four out of four.
Okay, I'm going to second. Give me my boy, Cody, and I'm trying to Garbrandt. Give me Garbrandt. Okay.
Micah? Dominic Cruz is all you need to know is going to lose. Go ahead. Let me say this much, though. Dominic Cruz, to me, and what and I'm taking nothing from Dominic Cruz when I say this. He's 22-1. He's had all kind of injuries. He's come back. He survived them all. To me, the closest thing to Floyd Mayweather in MMA you're going to get is Dominic Cruz. So for me to say and Hugo to say, I think he's that unhittable.
Really?
And that's what makes this fight to me tonight so great, and I think it's going to be so amazing when he does get stopped. Or knocked out, because I think he's that swift. I think he's that fast. The way he gets in his shots and backs away, he never takes serious damage. I think it'll be very interesting tonight. And Cody better have a chin, because although Dominic doesn't have the strength that he used to have, well, he's never really had power. He's very precise where he lands his punches. And let's find out how strong Cody's chin is. Any good punch in the right place can knock anybody out. Remember that one. You got something to say to this one, Micah? Amy Richard on the Twitter, that is.
No, I was listening to y'all pronounce the name Garbrandt. And I was like, it's just like Rembrandt, only with a G-A-R in front of it, y'all.
I said Garbrandt.
Yeah, I know. You know, was sitting over there struggling. I was like, man, this what happens when you're a Jets fan. Just
kidding. And I normally don't struggle, by the way. I normally don't struggle.
No, I normally don't struggle. Yeah,
I can't even spell, so good job, sir.
TJ Dillashaw taking on John LaCour, Hands of Stone. I'm not ever going for a Brazilian against an American, especially when it's front of the program. Give me TJ Dillashaw and a unanimous decision, Hugo. How you got this?
Wait, which one? John Lineker? John Lineker and TJ Dillashaw?
Yes.
Okay. So
sometimes I need you to follow when I hand you the baton. Because we would lose the leg rakes right now if you don't ever.
Here's the thing. You know, when it comes to my UFC, I have to do my research and I have to go to like the last six fights that they had, and I always look at them. TJ Dillashaw, listen, I love TJ, and TJ to me is he's an all around fighter when it comes to the bantamweight division. And listen, yeah, the last fight that he had against Rafael Asuncio, he beat him in UFC 200. If you remember that fight, Mike, it was a unanimous decision. It was a great fight. He lost to Dominic Cruz, and then before that, he beat Ronan Barrow. He beat Joe Soto. He beat Ronan Barrow again, and then Mike Easton. I'm very torn, Mike. You really are putting me on the spot. But you know what? Listen, the face on the UFC bantamweight division for the males is Ali Bagonatov. Let's be honest, because he's a badass. He really is. And Mike,
it's a God darn body. Come on!
I'm going to go with TJ Dillashaw just because I love him. That's the only reason why. Just because I love him.
For. What were you waiting
just
so long
I love
for?
Him. It's
it
hard.
Don't matter.
It's hard. Just, Mike, it's
it,
hard. It's
it
hard.
Don't
this kid,
matter.
This kid
you
is
buy or
great.
Not to buy. Are you buying it? Or are you buying
I'm going
to
be at Twin Peaks. I'll be at Twin Peaks watching it. I always watch all my fights at Twin Peaks.
All right. I like why you eat some nice food, putting them on your Instagram while I'm sitting at home eating spaghetti. Listen, guys.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Mike
you
Nunn.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch it Raw first, then listening to the Perfect Flex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't trust him, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, KME? The crew, better known as Three Count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez, the show covers everything. And for the marks that just hopped in the bag, y'all need some wrestling history, better listen to Chad. They're rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition, too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to. Perfect Flex Radio. Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what y'all better be listening to. Every Monday night after Raw.
Do you
go
smell?
On the
dive. Stop that. Listen, the year's over. And for a year, I've been pessimistic. I've been optimistic. But whatever the mystic I have been that I haven't been drinking because I didn't twist it, I've been here trying to tell y'all about professional wrestling. And you know what? Sometimes I toot-toot, and sometimes I don't. Tonight, I'm going to toot-toot a little bit. Why? Because as I'm listening to that banging-ass song that I have that's 3 years old now, I started that. I remember when podcasts had no theme music, took something off of YouTube and ripped it. I made this thing popular, and some of you have the audacity to tell me, who have I interviewed? Who have I interviewed? You name them. You name anybody that you had on your show, I've had them. The gimmick to me is getting people on your program to interview. You're not listening to us. You're not listening to me. You're not listening to the Best Damn Show in Radio. You're not listening to Fox Sports. You're not listening to No Foul Play. You're not listening to the people that we have on the show. So I pull back a little. But when I want a damn interview, happy birthday, Julia Rose, number 25 on BDSR Network's 6th annual Top 25 Female List of Sports and Entertainment Edition. I get that. Y'all gonna start paying me my damn respect because I'm an OG and you still a little G that can't even write it properly. I ain't a rapper though, but I got bars. Now that I'm calm, thank you, Micah. I love having you on the program, by the way. We're gonna talk professional wrestling because the Plexi Award winner for Best Wrestler of the Year and Newcomer of the Year. Now he gets some props because Rolling Stone says he's number one. Well, I already said that. Is John Cena going heel?
Nope.
Depends on what you would call interning being a heel. Is SmackDown better than Raw? Probably. But only because Raw is put on a pedestal that can't nobody ever reach. Because it's Raw, and it had Rock and Stone Cold and all those guys, and nobody can ever be better than what a show that was better, but now it's not ever that good anymore because everything had to be better than what it was because you wrestling fans suck as fans. Not you, the real fans I'm talking to. It's the other people that, you know, wear T-shirts that say if John Cena loses, we complain on the internet. Well, I actually like that shirt, but, you know, we make that shirt for people like that. No offense, Mike, because you're partially in that crowd, but not really. Just that one part hit you.
Yeah, because he's a John Cena hater. That's why.
John Cena, right. And we're going to talk about that tonight as well. Welcome to the program. The Mike Tenay, as Spot likes to refer to him as, Toph. What's going on, Toph?
What's up, Toph?
Hey, yo. I'm doing good, man. I'm just, I don't really do Twitter that much. Decided to just get on Twitter today. Man, what's up with Roman and Cena taking shots at each other? It's like some Tupac Biggie stuff going on. What's all that?
It's exactly what I need people to understand what they're doing. Remember 2 years ago when they called it the social era? They know how to use, and you said how they let Baron Corbin be a certain kind of way on the internet, right? And how he's not really kind of portrayed on TV. Well, John Cena always portrays who he is everywhere. Somebody turn us down in the back. We got background noise. I'm repeating myself. I feel like my wife's yelling at me. And so after Tuesday night's interview, John Cena came out, and I know King Von Jr., 720 on the Twitter, that is, said Cena going heel finally 10 years too late. That's not a heel turn. He's been the way he was on Tuesday night, the way he's always been. If you're with him, you're with him. If you're not, so be it. He's going to still acknowledge you, but so be it. He came out Tuesday night and said what he should always have said. I'm still here. Yes, I'm still here. I'm not going nowhere amidst the rumors because I am the franchise. Now, early in the week, we started a little argument, which is going to go back to the Roman Reigns discussion as well later, between myself and Micah, that's Emmy Richmond on the Twitter. That is. I like saying that. Guys, that John Cena deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling, and he said drugs. I said, what kind? There's Adderall, there's Percocets, there's Vicodin, all prescribed, by the way. If not, then you're a dopey. Okay, if you're taking pills that not belong to you, think about Heath Ledger. Okay, let that sink in. Huggo. Should John Cena, if there was a Mount Rushmore, adding one more to the list, making five. Now, I'm ready to hear this. If you don't want to have five, that's fine, because Mount Rushmore technically only has four. So, in fact, let's keep it like we always keep it. That's the heat turned up here in the barbershop. Four people on your Mount Rushmore. You don't have to put them on there. Y'all don't even care about you naming them. I'm taking John Cena on my Mount Rushmore over some of the other names most people will put on that list, including a very overrated Undertaker. I said it. Kiss my ass.
Well, first things first, I can't believe you. Yeah, you know what? False advertisement. I just said to Julie Rose, thank you for joining us on the Soul in Sports. And I thought she liked it, but it was you. Gosh, I hate you, Instagram, for putting that up. You know, like on comments. But anyway, what do you mean? You liked the comment.
Oh,
I was like, thank you for joining us on your birthday. Hey, it was false advertisement. But it's okay. It's all good. Hopefully she gets back to me because I'm still going to ask her on that date in the bonfire in South Florida. But anyway, we're talking wrestling. Mount Rushmore, yes, I would put John Cena. Absolutely, Mike. Even though it's four, let's go with five, okay? I would put it up there, Hulk Hogan or Double H.
Thank you.
Because at the end of the day, you have to put Hulk Hogan. I don't like the guy. I've never liked the guy. I've never been a fan of the guy. But at the end of the day, he did things for professional wrestling that no other iconic superstar has done.
Ever done.
Ever. So you have to put Hulk Hogan up there. You have to put the Nature Boy Ric Flair up there as well. you have to put, I'm sorry, Bret the Hitman Hart. And that means, and why Bret the Hitman Hart? Because at
over
the end
Shawn
of the day,
Michaels?
Bret the Hitman Hart, I would put him over Shawn Michaels.
No way you could do
I
that.
I would. And in fact.
No way. I have so many arguments against that. No, it's your rush, and it's my more mount, that is. But I'm just saying, in the
I'll
realm of professional wrestling, this is why I would take both two people off your list. Because to me, and you know how we
you
broke
said
Ric Flair.
I think you'll take Ric Flair out.
Maybe. I'm not going to go there yet.
I want to hear it. So go.
The reason why I'm replacing, and you know, Brent, I got best there is, the best of us, best there will be tattooed on my arm. Okay?
I didn't know that.
Professional wrestling is not just about, since this is my problem with why wrestling fans don't like Roman Reigns. Wrestling fans don't like Baron Corbin, right? But for whatever reason, because he has a little sidekick that speaks well for him, but you like Big Cass. Big Cass can't lace Roman Reigns' or Baron Corbin's boots and squat a square circle.
Actually, he could lace Baron Corbin's boots.
I don't think so. I've seen them both wrestle against each other, and Baron makes him look bad. He cannot do half the things that Baron Corbin can do in that ring.
I can tell you the real reason why fans don't like Baron Corbin, if you want.
Oh, well, we were talking about that another day, another subject. But what I will say, in saying that is, Shawn Michaels has put more money into the WWE than Bret Hart has. He has brought more fans to the WWE than Bret Hart has. He has been affiliated with WrestleManias more. In every step of their careers, no matter whether you like, and again, I have a 1-2 in my book. And the only reason why I put Shawn over Bret, the only reason, because you look at the total package of professional wrestling, entertaining you is one of them. And Bret is the greatest inside the ring to entertain me. But outside the ring, Bret's a little dull. Didn't say it was boring.
I understand.
It's a little dull. So, Shawn Michaels, if you're going to put one of the two on there, I would tell you to put Shawn over Bret for that reason only.
I got you. And you know what? It is my heart talking. No pun intended. Bret Hart is my favorite wrestler of all time. So that's why we'll put Bret Hart over Shawn. Don't get me wrong. Shawn, listen, he might have screwed Bret Hart. He already came out publicly and said, I did screw Bret Hart. We did. Come on, Mike. It's been exactly 20 years.
I don't give a damn if it's 40 years. If your boss tells you to do something and a company and run like the way they're supposed to, I love Bret Hart. Okay? I do. And at that time, in my heart, I felt Bret was screwed. Okay? But you look at wrestling. We know that it's predetermined. We know that your job is to do what the boss tells you the way the story goes. He refused to do what the story told him to do. He screwed himself. Be real. He screwed himself. And he went to WCW, and his career was shattered because of it. If he had just did what he had to do, and I don't blame him for going to even try to take the money from WCW. You're not a Caesar family. I'm not talking about none of that. But if he had just went out like he was supposed to and not, I'm going to go with WCW. No, I love Bret. He called me a wrestling genius himself. I'm sorry. That's the truth. It's the truth. I know
okay,
it's
so
tough,
anyway.
It's the truth.
Let me, okay, now that you said all that rant and I'm thinking over it, I'm going to drop off Ric Flair. I'm sticking out Hulk Hogan. I'm sticking out Bret Hart.
Now, where's Vaughn with our
I'm
going to
put up
42 minutes.
All right, hold on. I'm going to put up Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Got to.
I'm going to put The Rock.
I believe
that. And then I'm
going to
put John Cena.
I believe
so
that's
so to me,
perfect,
my Rod Rushmore, and because they were all iconic wrestlers. Listen, you made your point when it comes to Shawn Michaels, and it's a valid point. To me, because he has a soft spot in my heart, and it is Bret the Hitman Hart. Hell, I'll put Kurt Angle just because of his athletic ability, but obviously he's not going to make it because he didn't really revolutionize the industry. And we're talking about revolutionize. That's the word. Kurt Angle never did that. Unfortunately, he never had the chance to do that because he was coming off the heels of Stone Cold. He was coming off the heels of The Rock. In fact, he fought The Rock. He fought Stone Cold Steve Austin. So it's unfortunate when it comes to that, and he never had the chance to revolutionize the wrestling industry. But if it came to wrestling ability, you have to put Kurt Angle up there. I think if we just say wrestling ability, Kurt Angle would be up
again,
there. I think that's
when
agree
you
with
think
me.
Of the. Let me just this is how I break down on Mount Rushmore, and I think wrestling fans and you're all it happens. It's a very difficult thing, and I'm going to have to get Mike in here. It's a very difficult thing to separate your love for someone or your liking for someone or your, you know, right, how you like it character, and then be honest and not, you know, separate the two. Mount Rushmore should be looked at when I think, or let me put it like this. When I think of a Mount Rushmore, I think about the best four people that a company has ever had to produce the company. Right?
Right.
So you put the NBA, they're going to always put Bird, Magic, Michael, whoever you want to insert in number four. I guess it's, you know, maybe
Kobe.
LeBron at this point, or Shaq. I will put Shaq over Kobe any day. Any day. No matter how much Kobe is loved, Shaq was L.A. And Shaq will always be L.A.
Oh,
okay, so, don't tell me to shut up.
Mike, if I were there right now, I would choke you right now.
You would get capped out. That's the truth, dog. That Shaq is a bigger polarizing figure in California than Kobe is. I know fans of Kobe apologists don't want to hear this. This ain't coming from me. This is coming from the national media and a whole that puts Lakers on top. Kobe's like three on the rest. Kobe is friends. They go mad.
You're so lucky. I love you, man.
Well, anyway, making my point and saying is that when I think about Mount Rushmore, you got to go Stone Cold. You got to go Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go Cena. And again, insert four if you want to. If you want to put in Shawn Michaels, fine. I have no quarrels with that. If you want to put in Undertaker, fine. I have no quarrels with that. He single-handedly made him carry in WrestleMania. But he carried that number one business brand of it. So if you want to – it's only one of those two. If you want to go older because you want to think maybe historically, okay, then you maybe want to throw in Dusty Rhodes or Ric Flair. Because I think, you know, known throughout the world, Dusty was bigger than Ric Flair to me. If you look at old people, they would go to Dusty. Dusty was so popular in the South, which, you know, the Good Old Boys Network. One other thing, Micah, you have a problem with me putting John Cena on the list. Why?
He does.
Oh, well, I mean, obviously, I have a problem with anything that's John Cena related because I'm a John Cena hater. And I don't deny that I am a John Cena hater. Also, if you notice today, as a hater, I still have to acknowledge, just like I hate Dallas Cowgirls, I'm a boy. I still have to acknowledge things that are good and positive about a person. And if anybody knows anything about John Cena, that dude in the weight room, I ain't gonna lie. If I wanted to lift training, I would probably humble myself before him, in that way and say, hey, look, I hate you in the ring. I don't always hate all your promos, some of your stuff, especially when you do that fucking mouth, funny, you know. But I need to learn how to lift like you, so I'll disregard all your wrestling stuff that I hate, you know. Yeah, so I give him credit for being a crazy gym rat. Y'all talk about Mount Rushmore, and I get to the Cena thing in a bit. And everything we come to the criteria, this is why I like being on this particular show, because even with my hate, you know, there's still logic behind it. There's certain things I like and certain things I don't like about all kinds of wrestlers. And I'm with you, Mike. I don't understand why people don't like Baron Corbin. He's not boring and everything that he should be. In my opinion, Baron Corbin is what Roman Reigns should be on Raw, but that's another point for later. Because without HH and without the things that he did, we wouldn't have wrestling in the mainstream right now. That was the catalyst right there. Everything that he did in other wrestling promotions, then when he got brought up to the WWF at the time, you know, that was the catalyst for things. Stone Cold for saving WWE, for being one of the main reasons why they were saved, being that leading polarizing figure, the anti-hero that people can get behind. And later on in his career, he started doing more crossover. But really, the evolution of what a crossover wrestler could be really went to The Rock. And without The Rock, the legitimacy of being an actual crossover star that you can actually break into other industries by first being a wrestler, you know, it was possible. Hulk Hogan did a little bit of it, but none of his movies were really like, you know, I mean.
Right, popping.
Yeah, they were really popping. It was cheesy 80s, 90s type stuff, you know, Thunder in Paradise with the super speedboat, you know, all kinds of little things that try to make you believe he had hair, and we know he didn't. But when The Rock came, and people could take a wrestler acting seriously, And without that, we will see no John Cena in Trainwreck. And we wouldn't be seeing John Cena with his own reality shows. So I believe that all that led us to this point where now we see John Cena, Edge, there were some other wrestlers who weren't necessarily headliners. They were mid-carders, high mid-carders. Some of them held major single championship at the time, like Rob Van Dam. Kurt Angle did a couple of movies. Sting did a couple of movies, Christian-based movies. We already know what Stone Cold has done. But all that has led to John Cena. Now, reluctantly, if I was using my fandom, John Cena wouldn't be number four. It would be Shawn Michaels. It would be Shawn Michaels. If I'm using the business side of things and what he has done,
that doesn't make any sense then. Then that doesn't make any sense.
Of course it does, Mike.
But no, it does make sense. It does make sense for me. If I'm using my fandom and putting Shawn Michaels ahead of Cena, then that's I'm a fan. That's what I'm using. I'm using my fandom.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said, okay. My bad.
No, it's my fandom. But if I'm being reluctant and have to use logic and having my hate, then what is John Cena actually used for when it comes to this particular era of wrestling that he was in? Well, HH did the crossover mainstream. Stone Cold saved major the major brand in that war and made sure that was the reason why they could stay afloat and surpass. The Rock gave us legitimacy and movie appeal. And Cena, sadly to say, whether he's honest about it or not, or real about it or not, what I should say, is the philanthropy and the community service and the role of the WWE taking hold in people's hearts. So it's pulling on heartstrings and reaching out to people and grabbing their heart. Now, I also would say this. Now, you know this because y'all would know this better than I do. You know, been around wrestling longer than I have. I grew up in the Attitude Era. So what other babyface outside when The Rock first came in has been this long as a babyface and has been solely hated as a babyface for longer than John Cena? I think one of the things that makes John Cena brilliant is one of those things that creates hate in me from the fan side. It's not that he won't necessarily give in. It's that not give in to what the fans want. Is that he's been the same way. He hasn't really changed anything for the last 15-something years. But the perception is he doesn't change because he's not going to change because of the way he wants and not change for the good of maybe putting somebody over, making someone else a good guy, things like that. That's the perception of what John Cena is. So, you know, that's why my hate for John Cena is the perception that this is the guy who, like, never gives up. It's like, what are you talking about? It's been 15 years. We already know that you don't give up. All that stuff passed 5 years ago. We know that you're, like you said, you're the face that runs the place. So you can still be a baby face and a cocky baby face and just come with that. In other words, his promo on Tuesday was exactly who I thought John Cena should have been the last 5 years. He said, you know, I'm challenged for the world title. Oh, you said I can't do that? Well, guess what? I'm John Cena.
Okay.
That right there,
Micah, let me ask you.
It makes sense to me. Go ahead, Hugo.
Micah, let me ask you a question then. So you said that, okay, so you basically said that John Cena, you know, this is the guy that's portrayed to be the next guy or the next guy that carries a torch. What's the difference between 1995 to 97 Shawn Michaels? Because everything that you said, or at least what I caught of it,
yep,
it's the same exact way to describe John Cena into the later years where he's been excelling.
What exactly do you mean? Like, what point are you looking at exactly?
Because you just said that you know, like his promo that he had on SmackDown Live, right? He should have been
he just came out and pretty much told the crowd, I don't care what it is that you want, I don't care what it is that you think, I'm John Cena, so I can call it the way I want it.
Yeah, what's
but the
that?
WWE, but listen, Mike, the WWE did the same thing with Shawn Michaels in 1995 till 1997. So what's the difference between then and now?
Okay, so what you say, Mike?
I say a lot because no one has ever hated on Shawn Michaels the way that John Cena. Like, again, I think it was another question was posed this week. Who has the biggest apologies? I think you said that. You started that also, Micah, amongst fans. Punk fans, Roman fans, Cena fans, right? Like, which fan base is the most annoying? The most – I believe the word he used was
It was probably cock holders. That's exactly what I said. Rooster holders.
but answer me that question though, Michael. What's the difference between Shawn Michaels and John Cena? That's where it's John Cena. What's the difference?
Yeah, the first major point is what Mike said. It's about who is polarizing that position. See, and with our era of communication, the era of social media, the thought process behind kayfabe, of course, is pretty much dead in the water. And very few of our superstars right now, at least from the WWE perspective, know how to keep up appearances through social media, things like that. Very few of them can do that effectively. You know, we know Kevin Owens is one of those ones who's really good at it. You know, John Cena is who he is on Twitter and whatever. He hasn't really changed a lot. What I'm saying is that, you know, the era of social media and the era of how bookings work and how thought process work and dirt sheets and things like that has changed people's perception, especially our junkie wrestling fans, as we always refer to on this show, of who is a top guy and why. See, now is no more. Okay, well, they're not, because how many people you heard outside the people who were really, really, really behind the scenes of wrestling in that era were saying, oh, they're shoving Shawn Michaels down our throats again. How often was that really a talking wrestling conversation? As I was growing up, I didn't hear that from bona fide wrestling fans. But from a John Cena standpoint, I think around title number 10 or a little bit before, it was like, oh, no, here he comes again. Oh, he can't lose. He never gives up. I can't stand this guy. And I think that's what it is. It's perception of who should be the top guy. Let's look at another superstar who probably will be getting that torch handed to him from a guy like John Cena. That's why they're going back and forth on the web right now. I mean, you know, I mean, it's obvious what they're doing.
Think about it. It's just stirring up
buzz. Maybe for Undisputed Championship.
How about this?
Not,
maybe
you
next
know.
WrestleMania, Cena versus Roman versus more than Cena versus Taker, since he came on SmackDown and said,
Mike,
they know everything that's being said in the world now. All these dirt sheets that already had the whole WrestleMania max in totality already, I guarantee you 70% of that max cards are completely wrong. I guarantee you.
Mike, if you don't mind, can we get Tolk's answer in this? Because I'm actually curious what he's got to say, if you don't mind. Tolk.
Yo, hey, guys.
What's going on, man?
So I'm just listening to you guys, man. Y'all sound like it's barbershop, but this is what this is. I'm just listening to y'all.
So anyway, Micah. Okay, so my perception, because this is the perception that I got, okay? Because the WWE was so big between 1995 and 1997 for Shawn Michaels to be the next big star, and he had the title for 9 months. If you recall, in 1996, between WrestleMania to Survivor Series. And the difference now, because they were pushing Shawn Michaels to be so big. And by the way, Shawn Michaels is a big superstar. What's the difference between the Shawn Michaels when the WWE was trying to portray Shawn Michaels to be that way to John Cena now? What's your thoughts on that, by the way? Is it something similar, or am I just talking out of my behind?
There's similarities, but Shawn had a little bit more sex appeal compared to John Cena. Whereas John is mostly predominantly kids. There's females that like John too, but Shawn was mainly like a bunch of horny young girls that liked him mostly. So there wasn't that many men supporting Shawn.
Let me stop you. John Cena's corny as hell too. He was corny with the kids because, you know what I'm saying, John Cena is the kids' version of the WWE or the TV PG.
That's true.
So what's the difference then?
You're going to find more men supporting John Cena compared to men supporting Shawn Michaels back then, because a lot of men did not like Shawn Michaels
No, they did not. They thought it was pretty weird, but he was coming out there dancing. He was a Chippendale dancer. I was one of the few people that I've been a Shawn Michaels fan since the Rockers, because I don't know. I love tag team wrestling. Don't judge me.
You love
I've told the story before in the past with Knox. One of the first WWF pay-per-views I ever saw was Survivor Series 96 against Sid. We reviewed that show, Hugo, a few years ago. And if you remember, Shawn was wearing, like, those white and gold pants he barely wore.
I remember.
And
I just watched it, like, about a week ago, so I remember. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And he just looked so – I remember when I saw that, I was like, 7 or 8, and I thought, like, he looked like a Power Ranger, so I liked him. But I remember, like, all the – they were in Madison Square Garden, and the men just booed him out the arena. And I was asking my dad, I was like, Dad, why are they booing Shawn Michaels? And he just told me because the women like him, and a lot of, like, heterosexual men thought it was weird. And, I mean, I got to look back at those tapes, but a lot of men did not like Shawn Michaels back then. Whereas with John Cena, there's a moderate amount of male Cena supporters of a variety of ages. There's men that have children, you know, like Knox, whose children like Cena, and then there's, you know, people in my age range, you know, mid-20s, late-20s that support Cena. There's a lot more male supporters of Cena compared to Shawn Michaels.
Only
That's
hater,
probably the
only,
biggest difference.
The only real hater here is Mr. You know who we're talking about, King.
Yep, that's
Vaughn.
Me. I'm having to be one. Yep.
And Vaughn, okay. Vaughn.
This is
for
dumb hate.
Oh, no, Micah, let me ask you a question, dude.
Yes, sir.
Why do you hate John Cena? Like, what is it about John Cena that you hate? Let me tell you the reason why I hated John Cena for a while.
Answer it for me.
I have to ask you this. Because you know what? Mike will assess and Tope will assess. I used to be the biggest John Cena hater. In fact, you guys remember, what was it, about 4 years ago when Mark Henry fought John Cena, and we were all on the Mark Henry bandwagon.
Yeah.
I remember we were like, we hope we beat him. But at the end of the day, I've grown accustomed to John Cena. Like, I've grown to appreciate what John Cena is. So my question to you is, why do you hate John Cena? What pisses you off about John Cena? Like, what did he do to you and to your family for you hate him so bad?
Well, first of all, the hate isn't so much that I'm actually going to rage against the machine.
I know. You know I'm joking.
Yeah, that's hilarious. No, because, like, there's people whose podcasts and stuff I listen to and watch and stuff like that, and some of them take it that far. And some of them take it that far for
which,
riders,
by the way, hold up. Micah doesn't want to kill John Cena, so it's fine.
No, I don't. Like, it's not that serious. I mean, I don't like him as a – like, here's how it happened for me. John Cena. Ruthless Aggression, John Cena, just starting, just a random kid on the street, you know, coming in, talking trash to Kurt Angle, punches Kurt Angle in the face, and I was like, oh, this is cool, this is funny, you know, upstart kids, and I'm, okay, cool, great. Ah, Vanilla Ice, ah, this is funny. Ah, this is fucking not with you. He's a white boy trying to rap. I like this is funny.
Micah loves this.
that's how it was, and that's how it was, and then it went from, all right, so, all right, okay, so this is pretty much the same thing. Now, I was saying this about multiple wrestlers. I wasn't just saying this about John. But I was like, why does he keep winning? And why does it seem like they keep calling him an underdog? The dude's not an underdog. He's been dominating a lot of people. Like, I don't understand. And then The Rock came. And then I was like, hold on. So that's why I've been looking at him differently all these years. He's been fake. And I think a lot of my initial, like, okay, now I really don't like this guy no more, was how he was talking trash to the guy who brought him along, who made a pathway for him to get in different doors. Now, granted, you make your own opportunities, but there's always a
hold on.
Way
are you telling me that you stopped liking him because he baited The Rock to come out of retirement to put him in the real?
I started not to like him and like his stale character, and then that added fuel to that already. It's like, oh, then with this guy.
Then he did his job.
That's fine. He did his job. But, like, here's my thing. You know, my whole thing about John Cena is the idea that is the idea behind him. And I think here's the reason why I say that. The idea behind who John Cena is versus is the same idea behind who HH was. But for some odd reason in this era, that idea doesn't work. When you're the guy who everyone knows is the number one guy, and you're telling us that you have a challenge ahead of you when we know that it's not a challenge for you. I ain't talking about the predetermined stuff. Those predetermined. We're just talking about the suspending of our disbelief. If I see Roman Reigns fight Braun Strowman, I can actually see him having a challenge,
trying to beat this dude. Like, you know.
That's your fault.
Do you guys mind
fault.
If I add something to the scene of pain?
That's
your fault.
That's my fault. Hold on. Calm down. Calm down. So, go ahead. Go ahead, So.
This is really the only thing. This is the only thing I have to provide to the John Cena ordeal. And I've thought about this for a while. And sometimes I listen to what Knox says. And sometimes I hear Knox say that when certain things happen, it's not the fault of the individual, more so the fault of the company. I think the reason John Cena is going to have an abstract next to his name and this whole Mount Rushmore conversation, it's not Cena's fault. It's really Vince's fault. The thing that Cena had to deal with that a lot of these other dudes like Hogan, Austin, Rock, you know, wasn't really an issue. For one, in Cena's era, there was no competition. There was no WCW. So just because of that, his true star power is going to be questioned. But the main thing that really hurt Cena, and this isn't his fault either, this is on Vince, all those other guys that, you know, you guys were talking about, like Dusty, Flair, Brett, Shawn, Taker, Austin, Rock, like in those individual eras, there was like, I guess like an hierarchy of top guys, kind of like in Hogan's era, it was like Hogan, Savage, Warrior, you know, Flair, Steamboat, Dusty, you know, Shawn, Brett, Diesel, Austin, Rock, Triple H, like there was a list of guys. But with John Cena, for most of his run, it's just been him. Every now and then, there's someone else like Cena, Orton, Batista, Cena, Orton, Jericho, Cena, Orton, Punk, Cena, Lesnar, Daniel Bryan, Cena, Punk, Bryan. Like, but it's mostly been Cena. But he hasn't really had, like, real competition. And because of that, they've relied on him so much. Like what you just said earlier, like you just kept saying this guy keeps winning. Well, it's because they didn't make any other stars, and that's not really his fault. That's on.
Well, hold up. Okay, so you said the WWE didn't make no stars. They were making new stars in Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho. Your boy that you love so much.
Got over. Kurt Angle
Thank
was already
you,
a
Mike.
Star
that's
when John Cena got over.
I was about to say that. Mm-hmm. That's what I was about to say that. Christian. Because I know you love Christian. In fact, Christian was being pushed heavily.
Hurt him.
I'll never forget that. I understand. So you can't say that, though, so you can't say that. Because
yes, I can.
At the end
Ever
of the
since
day,
John Cena's been top guy, they have not made any new top stars to compete with him on that
but
level
that's the
from 2005 and onward.
But that's the company's fault.
Because right, that's what I'm saying.
Day,
that's not
Kurt
his
Angle.
Fault. That's
okay.
Vince's fault.
All right, I was going to say, because they had Kurt Angle, they had Chris Jericho.
Right.
In fact, Mike, I don't know how you feel about Christian, and you too, Micah. Christian could have been a big star. Unfortunately, his mic skills sucked. Unfortunately, but they had Edge.
Yeah,
Danny's
a little injury prone, too. So, yeah, those two things kind of really helped up Christian.
He was in good shape back then. People always say he was injury prone, but
he
wasn't hurt back then.
He wasn't exactly right. He wasn't injury prone. In fact, people loved Christian. In fact, I remember being what was the match, Toe? Was it Christian versus Chris Jericho versus John Cena? Was it SummerSlam? Come on. You're the historian.
Yeah,
dude.
No, they had a triple threat. Christian was like one of the most over guys they had in 2005, and they built it up like they were going to do a one-on-one match. Everybody was talking about it. They drafted John Cena to Raw, and it seemed like that was the direction. Then they added Jericho in the match for whatever reason, and then Cena won. And then for some reason after that, Christian was on SmackDown, and then he was working Velocity.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he's gone, and you're just kind of like scratching your head like, what was that? That was one of the biggest money matches for Cena that never happened. And to this day, I can't get an explanation for why. And then people say, oh, Christian was injury prone. No, he wasn't. He was in good shape back then. He was totally healthy.
He was.
He was putting out great matches. Edge and Batista set themselves on different books that Christian would consistently get some of the loudest pops. There was one Raw where they were like in Madison Square Garden, and Christian got like one of the loudest pops of the night. If you're over an MSG, you're over. I don't care what you say. Vince just dropped the ball there.
So, Mike, let me ask you this question now to you. I'm going to throw it back to our CEO real quick. When it comes to Christian, right, and I know we're way off topic, and I apologize because now we had a format, but I apologize to you. When it comes to Christian, right, could Christian been a big could he have been a big star?
No.
Because in 2005, he was there, though, man.
No.
He was there, though.
People have, that's the problem with people. And more importantly, that's the problem with the WWE. They don't have to make your champion the star. They're always – Vince's promise, he's always trying to recapitalize on what the 80s meant to him. There was HH to the Ultimate Warriors. You know what I mean? There was always – Christian could have been a WWE champion because he was credible in his coming out of Edge and Christian. He was over, like Tolf said, he was over in Madison Square Garden. I'm a huge Christian fan. I've always thought he was the better wrestler between him and Edge, the way I think that Matt Hardy was always a better wrestler than Jeff, but the other two were bigger stars than them. I go to my J. Cole slash Kendrick Lamar kind of, you know, rendition of what I think a star versus, you know, the art is maybe better in. So do I think Christian could have been a star? When I think of the word star, I think of outside of wrestling, will he be known? No, he wouldn't have been. Inside of wrestling, he could have been what he was. He could have been champion. He could have been looked at more respectable than what he is now by not being champion. But again, I don't think any of this had anything to do with Cena. I will stand by my words and my opinion when I say, when guys don't like guys like Roman Reigns, when guys don't like guys like John Cena, when guys don't like guys like Shawn Michaels, it's the old equivalent of, you can't be this, so you hate on this. And most in wrestling, we are a bunch of guys. And most guys, unfortunately, are under 6 foot, never been the cream of the crop at school, had to hustle loyalty respect to get a girl. So they don't like the fact that Johnson is this big polarizing figure with a smile, even though he has a big ass head, has a dope woman. Roman Reigns looks like a Greek god. Pauls, no broke back. I don't have to. You see my
he
wife?
Does.
Yes, he's hot. Okay. And people hate on it. That's my opinion. I believe that. And that's not what maybe not everybody's take on it, but for the most, the masses, I'm talking about to the crackhead fans out there, that's because they can't be him. That's why Daniel Bryan was over so much, because they could relate more to Daniel Bryan. That's why Punk was over more. They can relate more to Punk. They can't relate to Roman. They can't relate to Sheamus. They can't relate to these bigger, broader guys, whatever you want to call them. Maybe not Sheamus, because no one finds him attractive, but I was all about that. But that's what it is. It's when these guys who watch wrestling, because it's mostly guys, can't be this guy. So they hate that guy. Roman Reigns is booed because the WWE put him in a bad spot when they wanted Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble. You cannot tell me anything other than that,
Mike,
because before that moment, he was loved.
Exactly. He was all right until that moment.
Mike.
You're right.
But so, Micah, you're the one that doesn't like Cena, right?
Yeah, I don't like Cena.
Okay, well, I see what you're saying, but I'm in the same boat as...
I don't like what Cena's become. I don't like what Cena's become. That's probably a more accurate description of where
that's
I am.
That's a better assessment.
Okay.
I don't like
that's
what
a better assessment, Michael.
Because John Cena as a man, I care less. I mean, dude, he's okay. As a wrestler, I mean, you know
that's
what
fine. I mean,
I
if
saw,
you don't like
I
Cena, that's cool.
I saw sort of
it's not his fault.
John Cena has been out. So, you know what I'm saying? But, like,
guys, he's become.
So, you know, I want to...
Michael, it's not his fault.
No, it is his fault.
It's not his fault. No,
it
it's
is.
Not his fault that his that his performance on Saturday Night Live sucked.
Uh-oh.
It's not his fault.
Hey, no, hey, yo, no, no,
Michael.
Hey,
okay,
quick,
Micah,
quick,
Micah, Micah.
Hold on, before you give me, you go real quick. This is my thing, yo. On that Saturday Night Live thing, how come Leslie Jones had to be the stereotype, man? How come she had to be the dude that's also actually a black woman? Why couldn't she take the high road in that one? Okay, you go ahead. I felt bad for people. Leslie Jones, a dude who used to go smoke crack pipes with, I tell you. Anyway,
stop it, Micah.
You're listening to the best damn show on radio, y'all.
I love it. 347-637-3859 is the number to call. Sorry, Mike.